Brothers and sisters, how are y'all today? Yeah. So please give us your feedback after class. Write down petition. We want aircon. We want. Yeah. So she's busy taking photo. No time to adjust aircon. Yeah. The aircon is dead one, so but human beings is wow, yeah. So you have to always monitor. Today, for some reason, 24 degrees is insufficient. Then you need to reduce it, lah. Then you got to adjust accordingly, ma. So adjust, lah.
This aircon not cold.
See, even quite can feel it, lah. Okay, so anyway, let's see, who is new here today on my left? Everybody, season parking. Who is that person behind? Oh, the small kid. Oh, okay. On the right, yes, we have two friends here. Tell us your name, tell them your name, and how you got to know this group. I see. Good. Your name is Kam Kip Ho. Okay. And you saw it through YouTube. Oh, okay. Good. Welcome, welcome. I see.
Yeah.
Good to. Amitabha. Welcome, welcome. The rest are all. Have you introduced yourself before? No,
My name is Yao Fang.
Ah.
Got to know this
part of the week. I see. Welcome, welcome. Okay, so welcome to SGC. Where we have some short chanting, short meditation, and some more Dharma sharing. Yeah. Today's topic is on the Four Noble Truths. So let's see whether we can get the projector up. Yes. Okay. So the Four Noble Truths, 四圣谛, in Chinese, 四圣谛. This is a very important teaching in Buddhism. It is the first teaching that is given by the Buddha. Yeah. In one of the sutta, known as, maybe the front lights. See whether we can turn it off. How? You want to change the aspect ratio? Change the aspect ratio? Much better. How? Okay. Can I continue? Can I? So this teaching was the first teaching given by the Buddha after he attained enlightenment. It is also the truth that he discovered, he observed. Yeah. And it is called the Four Noble Truths. Sometimes in recent years, I like to suggest calling it the Four Enlightened Truths. Instead of noble truths. Yeah. Simply because these are truths that is observed and discovered by the enlightened ones. And if we were to discover them for ourselves, see them for ourselves, then we in turn become enlightened. Yeah. The Buddha, at the age of 29, he left his comfortable life in the palace and then embarked on a journey in search of the truth. Yeah. But what triggered him was really suffering. He saw for himself the suffering that was evident in the people, the suffering of old age, sickness and death. Even more importantly, he saw that this suffering is not something that only some individuals experience, but all individuals, including himself, his family, his parents. Yeah. And so we could see that his journey beyond the palace was in search of an answer. Yeah, an answer to deal with this suffering. In seeing this suffering, then he tried different methods. Yeah. Today we'll not be covering all those different parts of his journey, yeah, but more on the culmination of his journey. Yeah, where he observed for himself the nature of our existence. Oh. So he summarized what he discovered as what we call the Four Noble Truths, and he gave this teaching to the first five of his disciples. They are the five ascetics who practiced with him, yeah, when he was practicing extreme ascetism. These five ascetics were to abandon him initially when he started to receive food, yeah, and he washed himself up. He abandoned the extreme ascetism. When the five saw that he has abandoned the practice, they thought that he has given up. Yeah. In a way, you can say that the Buddha has given up on the extreme ascetism. Yeah. Because after all, he did stop doing that practice. But in a way, you can say that he didn't give up, but he put it aside. Yeah. Seeing that it is futile. Yeah. Pointless. In Chinese, we call it 无益苦恨. Yeah. Fruitless ascetism. That when you go through that kind of practices, you end up experiencing more pain, more suffering. Yeah, in the Buddha's own, more or less the own words, at least the translation. The Buddha didn't use English. But in the sutta, it said that the Buddha reflected, having tried the extreme ascetism, yeah, he saw no end to his own suffering. Instead, he saw that the practices brought about more suffering. Yeah. So he termed it a fruitless ascetism. There are certain ascetism, certain practices that are demanding, yeah. Even one would say challenging. But yeah, but there are those that produce results, there are those that doesn't produce anything fruitful. So what is this Four Noble Truth about? In brief, it is what I've listed here. The noble truth of suffering. That's the first noble truth. Yeah. Although I mentioned about an alternative translation being Four Enlightened Truth, for convenience, I will use noble throughout this session. Okay. More out of convention and habit. So this is the first. This is the second, this is the third, and this is the fourth. When we look at this, you may notice that it is very similar to the systematic approach that we adopt, yeah, in modern day, especially in the corporate world. Yeah, first, what is the problem statement? And then do an analysis and determine what is the root cause. What are the factors that lead to this occurrence? Yeah, and then the third cessation, yeah, or cessation. Sometimes in Buddhism, when we learn about it, then it feels a bit bleak, huh? cessation. You know, nothing fancy, no whistles and bells. But if you use modern terms, then it is basically the success, yeah, deliverable. Yeah, to clearly define what it means to be successful. In this case, the complete cessation of suffering. Yeah, and then we end with the way to do it, the path. Yeah. So if you consider that this came from 2,600 over years ago, the Buddha was pretty advanced for his time. Yeah, very systematic approach. But at the same time, with this systematic framework, he tailor-made his teaching for every individual. So he don't go around taking this and then just dumping on people. Yeah, he don't meet someone and then say, okay, come, learn Four Noble Truths, Eightfold Path, Kao Tim, okay, go. Yeah, he didn't set up a standard course. Yeah, 1 year course, 2 year diploma, 3 year bachelor's degree. Yeah, he didn't do such a thing. Instead, while this is the framework, he tailor-make the teachings specific to individuals' needs, specific to the propensity and inclination of individuals. There are those who are not ready for this teaching. Yeah, there are those who are only ready to hear of worldly charity, yeah, worldly kindness, and then he would teach them and guide them in that way. Then there are those who are a bit more spiritually developed, and the Buddha would also in turn guide them to practice precepts, yeah, morality, to restrain themselves. And there are those who even go beyond this and are even more mature, and the Buddha would guide them to do the practice of taming the mind, yeah, including up to even development of concentration. And lastly, of course, there are those who are ready for the truth itself. Then the Buddha would teach. Today, in some ways, is give it all. Yeah, because today, even without attending this class, you can easily find everything that the Buddha has said for 45 years. So sometimes that is good, yeah, because compared to our predecessors in China, our predecessors in Southeast Asia, or even in India, we have the luxury of knowledge. We have the luxury of having wide access, free access to everything all at once. But interestingly, that is also the downside. Yeah, because given everything, we also don't know where to start, what to do with it. Yeah. So some of you maybe have learned this before. Some of you maybe have not heard this before. And others, maybe you have experienced much suffering. Then there are those who never experienced suffering before. Yeah, like the small kid here. No, like you're a big kid already. You're not small anymore. I'm talking about the... Careful. Why you... Ayo. I just accidentally hook it, also get scolded by mommy. So you see, habitual tendency. Cannot get out of the mommy habit. So anyway, so what is this Four Noble Truths? The first noble truth of suffering, every time when I touch this, I must highlight. There are some texts and some teachers who highlight or who give the teaching as life is suffering. So let me just use a different color. I'm going to use green color. So, as far as I'm concerned, if you look at the sutta itself, the Buddha didn't specifically say this. Yeah, this is not what is said in the sutta. In the sutta, the Buddha described the nature of suffering. Yeah, so the full text is, the noble truth of suffering. That's it. Yeah, no additional things. He just described what suffering is. Because the truth is, are you all suffering every day? How many of you are suffering every single day? Poor you. Yeah. I think in Singapore especially, our life is pretty okay. So the trouble sometimes with looking at the teachings is, when we look at the teachings, sometimes we may even scratch our head, you know. Suffering. What suffering? Because suffering is just one word. And it's supposed to describe a whole range of different human experience. For example, when the aircon is not so cold, and then we don't feel comfortable, do you call that suffering? Most people probably wouldn't. Yeah? But if you go down into the technical definition of suffering, in Pali it's dukkha. Yeah? It is any form of dissatisfactoriness. Yeah. Which in this case then, the aircon, or rather, it's not the aircon, you know. It's the temperature of the air. Yeah. But you see, it's so easy to think of it in terms of the aircon. Yeah. So our attribution of the problem is a very interesting process. Some will look at it as the problem with the aircon. Some will look at it as a problem with the person who is in charge of the aircon. Then there are those who are Chinese called 自责, very self-reproaching. Then they will feel, oh, no, this is my bad karma. That's why I'm feeling so hot. So, suffering. It includes even that. Yeah. So if you find that suffering is too strong a word, yeah, then just put it aside first. Ask yourself, what is your daily frustration? I think frustration is more relevant to Singaporeans. Yeah? Because Singaporeans like to complain. Yeah, this is our national sport. Other countries, they have rugby lah, they have football lah, they have baseball as their national sport. Singapore, we have complaining as our national sport. Yeah, we should actually try to get Olympics council to recognize it as a national sport. Then we will confirm win. Barring our Malaysian counterparts. Yeah, it's a hard fight. So, I want you all to just spend 1 minute, okay? Think about what frustrates you in life. Yeah, that means what are the times or what are the situations where you encounter that makes you feel like, you know, make this sound. Yeah, think about it. Okay, 1 minute. I want you to think about it. And if you have a piece of paper, you can write it down, or you can take out your handphone. This is the one time you attend a Dharma class, Dharma talk, and you are requested to take out your handphone and write down your frustration. Yeah. What are the things that, it may be something, it may be a circumstances, yeah, some circumstances, or it may be some individuals that frustrates you. Yeah. So I want you to just very briefly write down. Like, when some people see Sifu accidentally hook the thing and then the table like that, and, oh, immediately have to respond. Then when Sifu point it out, then... Okay, write down. So write down your poison. What is your poison? Okay. So I can see that some of you have a lot of suffering to write, huh? Do you have a lot of things to write? Sometimes, some of you may feel like you have things to write about. It may not be a lot, but you find that, yeah, there are things to write about. And for most people, we can say that adults in general, the areas would circle around these few categories. One would be relations with family, relations with, let's say, friends. Then there'll be those that is work-related. Yeah. And another category could be health-related. If you're married, then spouse-related. Yeah. So it is a combination of different circumstances, interactions with different individuals. Now I want you to look at what you have written or what you have in mind, and then I want you to ask yourself, do you always experience suffering or frustration or unhappiness with these circumstances or individuals? Yeah, do you always have suffering? Some of you may say, yes. Yeah. But many times we may also find that, not really well. Yeah. Even if it's specific individuals, they are not constantly giving us frustration or suffering. Or circumstances. Yeah, not all the time. Yeah. So, what is happening here? Yeah. So, a huge part of the Buddha's teaching is about doing examination. Yeah. There are some Buddhists who come to Buddhism and then what they do is instead of learning the teachings, then they do prayers. Yeah. They do prayers. They offer Buddha carrot juice, oni, plain water, or flowers, and then hope that their problems will be solved. Yeah, without changing anything else. Yeah, this is what I call 厕所肮脏，佛前扫地. Let me explain briefly, okay? Imagine if your home toilet is dirty, yeah, and instead of going to the toilet to clean it up, you go to your altar at home and sweep the floor in front of the Buddha. And then pray to the Buddha saying, with the merit of sweeping the floor, may my toilet be clean. Yeah? If we do that, then I think we are making things difficult for the Buddha. We are effectively asking Buddha to wash our toilet, to clean up our mess. Like for example, let's say you play with toys. Yeah, playing is fun, right? Keeping is not so fun. Then next time you don't keep. After you play, you go to light incense. Light incense, burn candle, and then ask Quan Sim Pusa, ask Buddha for help. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Poppy, poppy. My toys, can you help me clean it up? The truth is, there are some Buddhists who do that. Yeah. And Heng Heng Sui Sui, sometimes it happened to work well. I say Heng Heng Sui Sui, meaning that fortunately or unfortunately. Yeah, why do I say that? Because if it happens to work, then it's unfortunate actually. Yeah, because then the individual may end up learning the wrong thing. They may end up learning that, they don't have to change themselves. They just have to do some rituals and spiritual offering and then the problems will be solved. But that is not the way the Buddha teach. Instead, the Buddha say, examine closely. Examine your suffering. Yeah. So, I want you all to just do a brief one today, yeah, which you all have started. Yeah, but don't just go back, delete from your handphone. Revisit and examine. why do you suffer over these circumstances? Take the aircon for example. Like now, a few more of the units are turned on, so of course it's going to be cooler. When the air is cool, the discomfort, yeah, from our perspire, discomfort from the warm air is removed. We cannot deny that it's more comfortable. Do you all feel more comfortable now? Yeah, of course. Yeah. But if our happiness is tied solely to the presence or absence of air conditioner, yeah, or air conditioning, then it means that our happiness is in turn held ransom. Yeah? It means that our happiness is like the stock exchange, you know? Go up and down depending on whether people buy or sell. Is this the kind of happiness we want? This is the nature of our suffering. Because of the way we hinge our happiness on whether this happens or whether that happens. Now, what if you flip it around? Like if now we ask for the other two units to be turned off and you don't feel the cool breeze anymore. Or without doing that, why don't you think about half an hour ago, yeah, when we just finished our sitting. Only maybe one or two units is on, yeah, and then it did feel a bit warmer. What if you accept that? What do you think will happen if you accept that versus not accepting it? If let's say the aircon is actually spoiled, then do you have a choice whether to accept or not? You can also choose not to accept, and then you will continue to focus on the warmth and get frustrated, and in turn maybe even start to question, why is the aircon not working? Who is in charge of fixing it? Why isn't it fixed? Yeah, we can do that also. But if we do that, does that improve our happiness? Or does that in turn actually lead to even more, so-called more things for us to be frustrated about? Yeah. So the Four Noble Truths is not simply just four static truths for us to learn and memorize. Yeah, but it's an active process for us to examine our own experience. Starting from something so mundane, like the aircon working or not. Or for that matter, whether the temperature is to our liking. For example, some of us are not feeling so well. Yeah. For those of us who are physically well, even if we set it to 20 degrees, maybe you will find, yeah, Sifu, 20 degrees is even better. But if you're not feeling well, is aircon comfortable? When we're not feeling well, air conditioner?
Sorry.
Oh. And? What are you trying to do with the preset? Trying to remind me to... Oh, yes. Every week she will come up with something. Yeah. But so you know, in Buddhism, sometimes before we learn Buddhism, we try to avoid circumstances that is unpleasant. Like aircon not working, we try to avoid it. Yeah, or we try to fix it. But then as we learn Dharma, we cherish these circumstances, you know. Yeah, because these are circumstances where your cultivation come to test. Yeah. Whether you can still be at peace when things don't go your way or not. So, suffering. There's actually a lot of things to cover for these Four Noble Truths. So if we just look at suffering itself, the standard would be the eight kinds of suffering, the three kinds of suffering, the one kind of suffering, the two kind, all these categories. Yeah, but today I'm not going to go into all the different categories. I want you to examine your own suffering. Because ultimately it's this examination that can get you enlightened. Yeah, just memorizing from the text doesn't get you enlightened. So when you go back, I want you to examine what you have written and really break it down and ask yourself, what is the nature of this? Yeah. Why do you suffer? Because of these circumstances. Yeah. What is it about these circumstances that cause you to feel frustrated, upset, yeah, or fearful or angry? Even more importantly is to find out what brings about this suffering. Yeah? What brings about this suffering? Early on we talked about how when the aircon was not so cold, then some of us may attribute our suffering to the aircon. Some of us may attribute to the person who is supposed to turn on or off the aircon. Yeah? Others may also blame themselves, and so on. So similarly, there are some of the teachings that were given by the Buddha. The Buddha listed out defilements as the origin. It's from defilements that our suffering arises. It is from craving and clinging that our suffering arises. Yeah? But I want you all to do an examination. From number one, the one that you listed, the suffering that you have, the frustration, and so on. What is the root cause for you that you observe for yourself? What are the triggers? Yeah. If at work, yeah, certain circumstances cause you to be upset, why? Yeah, why? A common feature is some friends share with me that it's frustrating at work. Yeah, sometimes why? Because everything that has been agreed during meeting, you know, during meeting, the proposal come out, everybody say, can, good, yes. Yeah, but as the project is rolled out, then everybody, no, cannot, don't know. Yeah. Would you all feel frustrated with that? Yeah? Say yes. Yes. Yeah, who wouldn't, right? But if you think about it, that situation is happening. Even as it is happening, is everybody frustrated? If it's frustrating, then even to the person who is saying no, it should be frustrating, right? But does it appear as though everybody is frustrated? No, especially for the people saying no to us. Doesn't seem like they are frustrated, are they? Don't know? Yeah. You ask them to clear some paperwork. Very busy. They don't look busy, but they say they are very busy. And they don't look frustrated, but we get frustrated. Why? Think about it.
Because people create themselves. Create something themselves.
I say. Guru Quack. Yeah. Indeed. A lot of the suffering that we experience come from ourselves.
Yeah.
Question is, what is it about ourselves that creates this suffering? Yeah, I've heard from many different teachers and masters, and also from the suttas. In the suttas, we seldom see this word. Yeah, but the suttas allude to this, which is our expectations. I haven't seen any translation that directly point to expectation, to this word. And I'm not sure whether it's because of the language, yeah, like Pali and Sanskrit, whether it's just not a common expression. But what is the link between the Buddha's teaching of defilements and craving and clinging with expectations? Yeah. So one of the defilements is or rather three of the defilements, root defilements, is greed, hatred and delusion. Yeah? Underlying all this is ignorance. And in it is in this way that I want to point out how it is linked to expectations. Because it is ignorance, ignorance of how things are, that causes us to have certain perceptions that is not in line with reality. This gap between our perception and reality creates this difference between what we expect and what will take place. If we know beforehand that the team is not going to do their work, why should we get upset? Yeah? It's because we expect that they would do their work, but they don't do their work well. Isn't it? So one master, many years ago when I attended his meditation class, he always tell us, 很简单, 怎么样不要有烦恼? 降低要求. Yeah, he's not so low-so like me. Yeah, he just, you know, these few words summarize everything, everything we're covering today. Yeah, adjust your expectations. Yeah, adjust your expectations. But after all these years, I've been thinking about what he said. I think there's a lot of truth in it, and for many people, it's very acceptable and easy to use. Yeah, just adjust your expectation, make sense of. Yeah. But I want to perhaps tweak this statement a bit. Not just to adjust your expectation, but realign your expectations. Adjustments means just moving it up or down. And in most cases, people will tell you, lower your expectations. Not just adjust, but lower. Yeah, why? Lower, then easier to meet. If you adjust high, then harder to meet. I want to suggest, perhaps not just to lower or raise, but to realign. The question is, realign with what? Realign with reality. Yeah. Realignment with reality is very important, because lowering your expectation can also lead to cynicism. Because it basically means that you don't think people can meet their expectations, it means they are lower standard. Yeah, you're thinking lowly of them, and it prevents any chance for them to improve. Rather, to realign your expectations with reality. Now, this means that it is not a one-time realignment, but frequent realignment. Yeah, frequently to examine again. What is causing my suffering is, are those conditions still present? Because maybe people can change. Yeah, but if they have not changed, we should not... We should not be cynical about it, and we should not also be overly optimistic about it. They will change. No. If they have not changed, they have not changed. Yeah. So, realignment of our expectations. Another thing which I've heard before, and I'm sure you all have heard also, is just don't have expectations. Yeah. And again, I want to say that I don't quite agree with that also. Because that to me is the extreme form of cynicism. Yeah, you totally give up on people. Yeah, that's not helpful also. Yeah. The opposite is again, to be overly, what nowadays is called toxic positivity. Yeah. To blindly think that everybody will do good, everybody will change. That's not true also, right? Yeah. Some people, given the right incentive, will change. So that is the 缘起观. Yeah. To see clearly that all things depend on conditions. Yeah. For them to change, they need conditions also. Yeah. If many times in corporate world, we think about motivation, right? Yeah. But you must know that they are not in the ECA. They are not in some society doing ECA work, volunteer work. Yeah. Prep talk can only bring you so far. Yeah, so you have to ask yourself, what motivates people? Even more importantly, perhaps the first thing to consider is, what is motivating us. Then we can come back to why are we suffering? Because many times we are suffering because we are not getting what we want. Yeah, that is what is motivating us to do this, to say that, to pursue that. And it's because the actions taken by some individuals are stopping us from our goal, our personal goal. Yeah? Then we feel frustrated. I would jump even further outside of the work environment. Recently, I was sharing with some, I think it's in some classes or some groups, about how even when it comes to BGR, yeah, with relationships. Relationships is one of the major sources of suffering also. Yeah? Do you all agree? How many of you agree? Wow. There's more agreement than work. I've sat down with many couples, sometimes one of the couple and not the couple. There are a lot of different reasons why there are conflict between couples. But in the end, what I observe is when couples have conflict and they suffer, they feel angry, they feel frustrated, they have resentment, it always comes back to themselves. Whenever we suffer, it is always about our ego. Always. Yeah. So part of this process is a lot of honesty. Yeah. Self-examination. What is really causing our suffering? Is it, as the Buddha has said, that our clinging? But you must be careful. Don't just write down all these terms and memorize them. Yeah. But you must see for yourself, what about your suffering is due to the clinging? And what is exactly are we clinging on to that's causing us to suffer? That day during class, I mentioned to one of the participants, one of the students, yeah. When we try to, let's say, have a relationship with someone, yeah, and it doesn't work, we suffer. Why? Because we are not getting what we want. We want the relationship, the person don't want, then we suffer. Leave us alone. It's okay. Can still come back to SGC. But it's true, isn't it? While we feel so sad, we suffer, then the person happily get married or maybe go and have drink coffee, yeah. Then you have to ask yourself, why are we suffering? Yeah. It boils down to not getting what we want. And it's true whether it's for work, for relationships, between parent, child, between ourselves and our classmates, our friends. Yeah, it always boils down to we want it a certain way, we don't get it. Then we suffer. So the true end of suffering, the true cessation of suffering, if we don't see clearly that it is about this ego, then we'll continue to try to change the world. Yeah, in order to be happy. Yeah, with that kind of mindset, then we try to change this, change that, then we think we are happy. Maybe for a while. But once we see clearly, actually my suffering is due to my ego. Then we work on ourselves. Then that is true cessation of suffering. Yeah? Because if you ask anybody who get dumped, you ask them how to end my suffering or how to end your suffering, Shifu, very easy. Oh. You go and ask that girl. Oh. Ask that girl to accept me. Then I'm, or ask that boy to take me back. Yeah. To go out with me. Ask that person to do this, to do that, to say this, to say that. Ask my boss to give me a promotion. Yeah. Ask my kankiang to do that work. Yeah. We hinge our happiness, yeah, or the cessation of suffering on what people do. Is it true that when all that happens, then we can be happy? The worldly view is yes. Yeah, the worldly approach, the worldly view is yes. If I can make that person do this, that person do that, then I can be happy. That is the worldly happiness. Yeah, based on fulfilling the ego, satisfying the ego. But this kind of happiness is short-lived. This kind of happiness has a nasty hit, yeah, has strings attached. Not true happiness. Yeah. Why? Because it means that literally our happiness depends on the aircon. And the truth is, if we live our life in that way, you know what? Then we become the aircon. People can make us hot or cold. Yeah, can make our mood go up or down just by pressing on our button. Instead, the Buddha's, through the Buddha's wisdom, he see that no. It is if we can remove the root cause, yeah, which is our way of thinking, yeah, our defilements, if you correct that, yeah, then suffering truly ends. Now, the Noble Eightfold Path is a very long-drawn process. Yeah, there are 8 factors. We have covered that before. On a daily basis, then, what can we do? Yeah, apply the principles found in the practices and regularly do checks. Yeah, do introspection. Do minor adjustments. Do course correction. Yeah. So, this process is actually, as I said, a very active, dynamic process where we are constantly checking. And that's why it's called Siu Xing. Yeah, Siu Xing. Yeah. Another word is Siu Xi. So to correct, yeah, to correct our actions, yeah, to repeatedly do corrections. Yeah. Okay, now we can have some Q&A. Any questions? Yes, Marcel.
Even after reading all of this, even though it makes sense for us, I think it seems like there's a key difference between us and the enlightened one.
Yes, there is.
Well, what is that key difference?
The difference is they actually put it to use. Simply put. The truth is, it is not that we don't put it to use, but we don't put it to use regularly enough. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And we do it to some degree, then we stop. For whatever reasons. Yeah, we don't go through all the way. If we go through all the way, sotapanna. Yes, the application itself. Buddhism is in a way not very complicated. Yeah. especially with modern technology, we can have access to all the teachings that you can ever think of, you know. Yeah. But it comes down to actually using it. Granted, there are certain subtleties. Yeah, if you have not applied it before, you may not be familiar with the subtle nuances. Yeah. So, for example, we say regularly check yourself. Shifu, how regular is regular? So depends on how urgent you want to be enlightened. If you are not very urgent, then check once a year. If you are very urgent, then check every day. If you die want to get enlightened in this life, then check every moment. The trouble is, many times, what we do is, we speculate. We speculate how it will be like if we do this. We speculate how it will be like if we do that. Yeah. And before we even speculate, we have our own idea already. Then when we speculate, it's just our pure conjecture and speculation based on non-cultivation, based on our past habits, based on our past mindset. Then we speculate, oh, if we go and look at life, if we go and examine our suffering, yeah, 师父, 这样不是苦上加苦吗? Yeah, we just speculate. But we haven't even tried. What I observe is, this is one of the obstacles. Instead, we should really just go and try it. Then we will find that, not so easy. Then we have, we'll find that we start to have question marks. But not simply question mark, is this true or not? Not speculative questioning, but more like, hey, Shifu, I tried this that day, and then I encountered this part I don't quite understand. This kind of question. So oftentimes, depending on the questions people ask, usually we roughly know whether the person is asking from the angle of a person who have tried the teachings or just speculating about the teachings. So try it out. And perhaps to give you a bit of inkling, if you have been trying out the teachings, you would have, if you have been trying out for, let's say, 3 months, 6 months, or even up to a year, you would have, or should have, at least observe in yourself unwholesome states. You would have observed that. Not saying that people who learn Dhamma become unwholesome. That would be the wrong conclusion. But it is that before we learn Dhamma, we don't, number one, do introspection enough. Number two, our ruler is crooked. So no matter how we measure, quite good what? I'm quite a good person what? I'm very kind. Yeah. But once you truly learn the Dhamma and you really honestly measure yourself, then you find, this part a bit flawed, the part angle a bit wrong. You start to be honest about your own state. So when some students share with us, they find that they have this flaw, that flaw, we don't, well, are you like that or not? Of course, or unenlightened, what you expect? Yeah, but rather, it's actually very heartening, though, when students tell us that they have found that they have this flaw, they have that mistake. It's very heartening because, every week, like, you know, talk. Wow, finally someone actually try it out, though. Yeah, it's very heartening, very encouraging. Then, even more importantly, when the students share that, then we can give them the next step. Yeah, because most people, you know what most people are doing? And you're not most people. I don't know whether you're most people. Most people are taking the postcard and then talking about the postcard, you know. But those who actually try out the teachings, they will tell, saying, oh, Shifu, I walked that path. That path, wow, very muddy, you know. wow, my leg like this, like that. Yeah, as an analogy. Yeah, they will share, oh, when I do this practice, I observe in myself, wow, that day one unwholesome thoughts arise, the other day I caught it, but then I still get angry, you know. There are a couple of students who share with me. One of them from the Thursday class, it is most interesting. It's been coming to 3 years, 2.5 years plus. The very first lesson, I think most other of the students may not expect him to stay on or progress. Most may not even think that the student is progressing, but as far as I'm concerned, that student has progressed tremendously. On the first lesson, his comments was, Shifu, halfway through the class, Shifu, this text seems to be quite chim. I'm a beginner. I don't know whether I'm suitable for it. Should I continue? I think for most people, you would think that this one cannot make it. Give him three more weeks. But I encouraged him. I told him, I think this text, although it's a bit more for the Bodhisattva practitioner, but I think there's still some relevance. Why don't you stay on and see how it goes? It's just my word. He hasn't even attended the whole course, right? But just based on that word, he said, okay, I'll try. And since then, on and off, he will text me and share with me his encounter. Now, not all the encounters are rosy. Not all the encounters are, wow, Shifu, that day I have, wow, great compassion come out, or like this, or like... No. Many of the sharing is actually about how he gets frustrated. Usually when we learn something new, we don't see this as a progress. We think, oh, if I go and tell Sifu, I must tell Sifu, wow, Sifu, now I sit, I can levitate 1 inch, you know. Oh, Sifu, now my leg is not painful already, you know. Yeah, I mean, I don't say that is not progress. But when students come and tell me, oh, Sifu, wow, I've been sitting for many weeks, wow, the legs is, wow, I find that, wow, the legs, wow, the pain is just very jialat. Hey, actually, this is good news, because you are really trying. Yeah. So, indeed, the Four Noble Truths, pretty straightforward. But becomes even, it takes on many dimensions when you really try it out. More, any other thoughts or questions or comments? If you would like to find out more about this sutta, you can search online Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutta. I will send out the link later, then you all can search. There's a website which I have shared many times, but I see that there are a couple of you all who are new, or at least relatively new. So you can go to this website, access.to insight.org, and you can search for Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutta. Pavattana Sutta. The turning of the Dharma wheel. So, I encourage you all to try out the process of going to the website and then searching on your own. Yeah, I know some of you all are very kind-hearted fellow students, quickly search and then post online. But try not to post yet, so that others have a chance to learn the skill of searching on their own. Yeah. Because once they learn that skill, they can use it all the time. Yeah. No. Any other questions? So if not, go back, take a look, and continue doing your examination, yeah, on these Four Noble Truths. And one day, when you examine day after day, day after day, and then suddenly, as you observe yourself, observe whatever is happening in front of you, and you see, suffering is suffering. Origin of suffering is origin of suffering. The cessation of suffering is cessation of suffering. The path, the way leading to the cessation of suffering is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Then you know it for yourself. The holy life has been lived. What has to be done has been done. There's no further becoming. And you become one of the arahants. Ta-da! Okay. Put our palms together.
愿消三障诸烦恼，愿消三障诸烦恼，愿得智慧真明了，愿得智慧真明了，普愿罪障悉消除，普愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，世世常行菩萨道。阿弥陀佛，阿弥陀佛，起立。